In my despair, Christ came to me as He alone could do. Grace was for me the only way my guilt could find relief. My destiny was changed that day I reached out in belief. God's grace does not on me depend. It's God who is my stay. His love is offered without end. He walks with me each day.
Thank you, Scott. Amen. Very good. John 17. John 17. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John in your New Testament. Okay, fourth book in the New Testament, Gospel of John. John majors on the fact that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Son of God, God the Son. That's how John portrays the divine, the divinity, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 17, one of the highlight chapters in the entire book. So let's stand together in honor of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 6. Read through verse 10. Why don't you please join me on the odd-numbered verses 7 and 9. So I'm beginning to read John 17, verse 6. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me. And they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I want to draw your attention to verse number 9, where Jesus said, I pray for them. And the title of my message this morning is in the form of a question, does Jesus pray for you? Does Jesus pray for you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for the privilege to look at this text this morning. Thank you for your eternal word. I pray that your spirit will help us today to absorb all that the truth that's found that will be presented today. We will not squeeze all the truth out of this text. That's impossible. But we'll look at a couple of things, God, that may help us. And so would you please speak to our hearts as only you can. I ask you to anoint the words that will be preached, Lord, out of the mouth of the speaker. But I also ask you, Lord, to anoint the ears of all that listen. And may you help us today. May we see good things accomplished in lives because we were here at church this morning. In Jesus' name I ask it, and amen. Thank you, and be seated. So the Last Supper, that time that Jesus spent with His disciples, had ended. The Bible says they sang a hymn and they went out. They left the upper room and they headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. Soon, Judas will show up with the soldiers and he will betray the Son of God. But before that happens, Jesus is going to have some alone time with His Father. And that's what chapter 17 is. It's Jesus Christ talking to His Father. You'll see verse number 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father. So Jesus is in the garden and He is spending some time with His Father. Now people, He set a good example for us in this passage. I believe that Jesus had some alone time with God because He wanted to. That desire stemmed from His divine nature, if you will. You see, Jesus had always been in fellowship with His Father. From eternity past, they had been close, in perfect fellowship with each other. And now for 3.5 years, Jesus had been on the earth. And from time to time, as you read the Gospels, you'll see where Jesus made time to be alone with His Father. I believe He did that because He wanted to. I believe also that Jesus did that because He needed to. And that stemmed from His human nature. You say, Pastor, I thought a moment ago you said that Jesus had a divine nature, and now you said He had a human nature. That's right. He possessed both. He was the only God-man who's ever lived. All God, all man. From His divine nature stemmed the desire to be with God. He just wanted to be with His Father. From the human nature stemmed the desire to be with God because He needed to. Jesus was about to go down into the valley of death. He was about to be made sin. Not because He sinned, He was to be made sin for us. And He needed strength and He needed encouragement. So from the desire of wanting to be with God and from the desire of needing to be with His Father, Jesus had some alone time with God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane before His crucifixion. I forget which one of our girls came up with the phrase, mom time. I think it was Leah. It was Leah came up with it. It was one of those times when, I forget all that happened, but it was busy, a little bit hectic, and there had been a lot of coming and going on everybody's part. And I think Joyce was either in the bedroom or upstairs, and Leah went and she closed the door, and she looked at Joyce and she said, I need some mom time. And that became something that the other girls caught on to and practiced. And every once in a while, Joyce will get a phone call from Hannah or Leah, now living in Tennessee, and she or Mississippi. She will say, one of the girls will say, I just need some mom time. I need some time alone with my mother. And I think that's good. I think that's helpful, all right? Here's God, here's Jesus needing some father time. He needed some time alone with His Father. Now, about this time that Jesus spent with His Father, it's not all about just what Jesus needed. It was also about what He wanted for His followers. So Jesus is not just praying for Himself. In this prayer, He's praying for those who followed Him. Look at verse number 6. He says, I have manifested Thy name unto the men, watch this, which Thou gavest Me out of the world. So He's talking, who's He talking about there? He's talking about those 12 disciples that followed Him on earth. And he said, Lord, I want to thank you for the men that you gave me out of the world. And then he says in verse number 20, turn down to, or if you need to turn the page, look down at verse number 20. He says, neither pray I for these alone. So I'm not just, he's not just praying for the 12. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hey people, you can circle that phrase, for them also which shall believe on me through their word. If you like to mark your Bible, you can circle that phrase and out the outside in the margin write, that's me. That's what he's talking about. Because see, the disciples witnessed and people got saved. And then those people witnessed and more people got saved. And then those people witnessed and more people got saved. And those people witnessed and more people got saved. And then one day the witness came to you. And one day the witness came to me. And we got saved. And this is Jesus praying for us 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word. And so here's Jesus. He desires and he needs some time with his Father, but he's not going to just spend that time on himself. He's going to pray for his followers. The question, does Jesus pray for you? So I want to answer that question this morning from the Scripture. Does Jesus pray for you? Well, first of all, let me point out from this text that Jesus prayed for those who were saved. Look what he said in verse number 9, I pray for them. Talking about those he was talking about in verse number 6. And then look what he says. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. You know, folks, it's interesting in our day and age. It's kind of a religious thing to believe that God and Jesus just kind of lump all of humanity into one big bunch. And they do for one what they do for all, and they do for all what they done for one. There's just this great big warm and fuzzy love-in that includes everyone. I mean, guys can cuss and carry on and drink and shoot drugs and live in immorality and then, you know, talk about God. And God just has all of humanity lumped into one big bunch and just oozes and just warm and fuzzy for all of humanity. That sounds nice, just not true. Just doesn't happen that way. You know, the line that the religious world likes to use is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And since we are all God's children, we are all brothers and sisters. The only problem with that is we're not all God's children. Only those who are saved are God's children. And so there's this warm and fuzzy kind of lump together, you know. We can just do anything and everything, and God does for one, but He does for all. And it's just not so. One thing Jesus does for those who are saved is He prays for them. He prays for them. And that should encourage each one of us who are born again children of God. And Jesus makes it very clear that He was not praying for all people in the world. He said in verse number 9, I pray not for the world. Now wait a minute. God, the Godhead is good to all the world. God sends rain upon the just and the unjust. God sends sunshine on the just and the unjust. God feeds the just and the unjust. God waters the just and the unjust. There's no doubt about that. But I want to tell you something. There's a big difference in God just being generically good to all of humanity and praying for those who belong to Him. And that's what the Bible teaches us here. Jesus prays for those who are saved. This is not a one-time concept, people. This is not the only place in Scripture where this is found. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 34, the Bible says, Christ, now listen to these words, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The us is saved people. Christ is ever at the right hand of God interceding. What's intercession? Prayer. It's Jesus praying for us. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, the Bible says, He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who's the them? Those who are saved. The same followers that were back in John chapter 17. The same group of people, saved people. And then it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 24, Christ is entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. The us there is saved people. Do you understand? You say, well, I'm glad my mom prays for me. I'm glad my dad prays for me. I'm glad my husband or my wife prays for me. That's all good. But do you understand this morning as we sit here on November 18th, 2018, earthbound, Jesus Christ appears in the very presence of God Himself in heaven to pray for us. So how can He do that? Hey, there's a lot of people here. We're talking about Jesus here, folks. We're talking about the omniscient Jesus. We're talking about the one who knows all. Jesus prays for the saved. Now, I'll tell you why that's such a great encouragement. That's a great encouragement because we need it. There's not a soul in this room, not one born-again person, I don't care how long you've been saved, who doesn't need the prayers of Jesus Christ. In fact, I wish I had time this morning to delve into Hebrews chapter 7, where the Bible says that He is able to save to the uttermost those that come to Him because He ever liveth to make intercession for Him. I'm convinced the Bible is teaching there that Jesus' pleas and prayers for us in heaven is what just works to complete the salvation that's already started in our hearts and lives. I really do. Yes, sir, He prays for us. Now, there's a reason He prays. We need it. Look at verse number 6 again. He says here, I have ministered Thy name unto the men. Now, look at this. This is the group He's praying for. In verse number 9, I pray for them. This is the group right here. Which Thou gavest me out of the world. That's why I need Christ to pray for me, and that's why you need Christ to pray for you. Because, folks, we came out of the world. The unsaved world, the ungodly world, the sinful world, the world of depraved humanity, the world of which Satan is the little g god. Hey people, let's not forget where we came from. So I've been saved for 30 years. Okay, great. Where'd you come from 30 years ago? I've been saved for 50 years. That's wonderful. We have people in this room that have been saved that long. We have people in this room that have been saved longer than I've been alive, and I'm 61 years of age. They've been saved. But folks, where did you come from 60 years ago? You came from the world. You came from lost humanity. I came from lost humanity 43 years ago when Christ saved me out of the world. We were without God. We were without hope in the world. God brought us to Jesus, and through faith we became His people. Praise God. But there is still a lot of the world in us. That's right, it's true. We get all dressed up, and I'm not against that. I'm for that. We get all fancy. We look a little, you know, we get our Bibles. We get a little pious. And I'm God for bringing the Bible. I'm not minimizing any of that. But folks, there's a lot of the world in all of us. And the world has a lot of sway over all of us. And we need prayer. We need prayer. I don't think nobody here has such a grand spiritual heritage that we don't need the prayers of Jesus. You say, Pastor, but I am a seventh or eighth generation Christian. I can follow Christianity all the way back in my family to seven or eight generations ago. It doesn't matter. When you got saved, you didn't get saved out of a Christian family. You got saved out of the world. Out of the lost world. And we need prayer. We need Jesus' prayer for us. These men, the Bible says these men, He's talking about Peter. He's talking about Andrew, James, and John, and Nathaniel, and Bartholomew, and all of these men, these 12 men who followed Him. They came out of the world. You know, the truth of the matter is, people, the truth of the matter is that we could probably find a copy of all 12 of those disciples sitting in this room this morning. Probably could. You know why? Because we're cut. Human beings are pretty much cut out of the same cloth around the world. Different levels of living when it comes to standards and conveniences, if you will, and all of that. But human beings, human nature, is pretty much cut out of the same cloth. You could find the strengths of these 12 disciples in people in this room. You can find the weaknesses of these 12 disciples in people in this room. We came out of the world. and we need prayer, and Jesus is there at the right hand of God to provide that prayer support for us. You say, Pastor, I am the only one in my family that is saved. I don't have a saved dad. I don't have a saved mom. I don't have a saved brother or a saved sister. I am the only one out of my family that's saved. I really envy those of you who have saved family members praying for you. Yes, that's a wonderful thing, but don't give up hope. You've got a Savior who prays for you. And this is not just a feel-good thing. This is reality. Did you come to the end of the day and realize how close you came to messing up with some kind of temptation and you were able to get beyond it and get past it? Wonder who was praying for you. Wonder who was praying for you. Did you ever come to the end of the day and look back and say, man, I almost blew it there. I almost gave in to temptation. I almost did this. I almost did that. And sometimes it's not the big things we always think about. Sometimes it's just losing your temper and stuff like that. And you look back, you put your head on your pillow, and you say, man, I came real close today to losing it, messing up my testimony. I want to tell you something, folks. That may be just because up in heaven, you had one praying for you. If you're saved, Jesus prays for you. You know, there have been different preachers on down through the years that are known for different things. There have been preachers that are known for, preaching, preachers that are known for soul winning, preachers that are known for finances, preachers that are known for missions. And like we sang that song today, written by J. Oswald Smith. And J. Oswald Smith was a great missions preacher, I think from Toronto, Canada. Preachers have been known for different things. Don Green up in Lansing, Michigan is known for praying. He's known for that. And those of you that have heard him preach here sometimes, you know what I'm talking about. And that man, 87, 88 years of age now, it takes him like 4 to 5 to 6 hours to go through his prayer list every day. And it's known that he prays for preachers. He prays for a ton of preachers. And I always knew that about Don Green. And you know, for a lot of years, I knew about Don Green, but I'd never met him. And then one day our paths crossed. I forget where that was for the first time, but our paths crossed, I think probably up in Michigan at a tent meeting one year. And our paths crossed. And I never forget the day when he called me, Brother Angel. And I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you how it is. This is Brother Green. Listen, I just want you to know that I prayed for you. You're on my preacher's prayer list. I thought, man, I've made it. I made it to Don Green's prayer list. Yes. Wow. Caleb Hansen got a phone call one day in his office here. He met Caleb at one of the first revival fires. And Caleb said, Pastor, you won't believe who called me this morning. My cell phone rang and it was Brother Green. And he said, Brother Hansen, I just want you to know I prayed for you this morning. I said, man, you made it. And it's, you know, but hey, listen, to know there's an 87, 88-year-old man in Michigan who every day calls my name. And that's wonderful, folks. And I don't downplay that. But time out. The one who made Don Green, and the one who saved Don Green, and the one who has worked in Don Green's heart, the one who created everything and holds it all together, that one prays for me. And he prays for you. We've made it. We've made it to our Savior's prayer list. The moment you bowed your heart and head to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him as your Savior, at that moment in time, you made the prayer list of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and He ever liveth in the presence of God Himself to pray for you and me. You're struggling in your marriage? I wish somebody would pray for me. He is. Struggling with a kid? I wish somebody would pray for me and with my children. He is. Struggling with your finances? I wish somebody would help me. He is. Struggling with your health? He is. He's praying. He's praying because we need it. We came out of the world. And Jesus realizes that. And we're still in the world. A world that is governed by the little g god of this world, Satan himself. If you don't see that, friend, you're blind as a bat backing up. That's pretty blind. This world's governed by the spirits of devils. And boy, we live in this world. The world that Lot vexed himself with by seeing and hearing the lawlessness, the wickedness of those that were around it. You think you and I are better than Lot? You know, we get this mentality, we're American Christians and we got our buildings and we got our Bibles and we're American Christians. We are cut out of the same cloth Lot's cut out of. We need somebody to pray for us. And Jesus does. Number two, not only does Jesus pray for those who are saved, Jesus prayed for those who receive God's Word. Now, I want you to look at verse number 8. Look what he says here about these men that God gave him that he's praying for. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me. That's an interesting statement. And they have received them. Do you know what Jesus preached and taught to those followers? He preached and taught the words that God gave him. Tell them this. Teach them this. Preach it. Folks, Jesus did not come to this world and just speak on His own. He gave His followers the words that God said give to them. And Jesus said, Lord, I gave them those words and they received them. So I pray for them. I pray for those who have received Your Word. I gave them Your Word and they took it. They accepted it. They received it. Folks, this is one reason why it is wise to read and receive God's Word. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus more likely to pray for those followers who receive God's Word than those followers who don't receive God's Word? Well, he said here, I've given them the word that you told me to give them, and they've received it, and I pray for them. I suppose maybe that's a better investment. That's a better investment. You know, it's kind of like counseling. I think, you know, I counsel. I don't mind counseling, but it's probably my least favorite of all pastoral responsibilities, which does not mean I'm opposed to it. I'm supposed to see somebody after church this morning. That's okay. It's just one of my least favorite things to do. And one reason, folks, it's much easier to give time to counsel someone who you know listens than it is to give time to counsel someone who you know doesn't listen. I'm just being honest with you. Well, if I feel that way, is God any different? You know, I've given them my word. Here is an entire book of counsel. Entire book. 66 books in one. An entire book of counsel. And God has given us His counsel. He took care and time to breathe it. It's living. It's got life. He took time and care to preserve it. And here it is. And He's given it to us. And you know what? I wonder if Jesus doesn't look down from heaven and takes note of what we do with this book. Are they receiving it? You know, Jesus looks down and He sees, you know, a person who is saved, and He sees that person taking some time to read the Bible, and He sees that person taking time to be where the Bible is preached. I mean, at the services of that person's church, and the services of that person's church are way, way up the priority list. I mean, they're so far up the priority list that the person doesn't miss church unless they are sick or providentially hindered. And it's not just being here. When the book is preached, there's interest, there's acceptance, there's belief, there's obedience, there's hunger, there's thirst. Jesus goes, wow. Wow. They are putting a high priority on God's words. And then he looks down from heaven, and here's a person who never cracks open the book. And the services at the church are such a low priority. If anything slightly health-related comes up, they don't come. Any opportunity to go somewhere, I'm not talking about being gone for a scheduled vacation, but I mean an opportunity to be out of town and not mindful at all of the words that are being preached at the service. Go a week without preaching, no problem. Go 2 weeks without preaching, no big deal. Go 3 weeks without preaching, did I miss something? Wednesday night, oh, that's not necessary. Father, I gave them thy words, and looks like it's a low priority. Brother Angel, you shouldn't be meddling in the lives of church members this morning. No, I should be. And I gotta be. Because if I don't, this thing will dissolve. You're either going to put a priority on His Word, or you're not. And Jesus said, God, I gave them the words You gave to Me. And those people received, these men have received those words. I pray for them. I pray for them. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus pray for you? Are you saved? Jesus prays for you. Do you receive His Word? Well, Jesus prays for you. You know, people, listen very carefully. The problem with working through services, and this is going... Listen. This is going to become a greater issue amongst God's people. Because the world that we came out of, Sunday's nothing. Sunday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Friday, no difference. That's not right. This is still the Lord's day. So every day is the Lord's day. Sunday is the first day of the week, and God gets the firsts of everything. This is His day. And I am not a dictator. I grieve. I sympathize, I agonize with people whose works get, to me, as far as it comes to getting people who get saved, getting them to church, the number one interference is work schedule. You see somebody come to Christ and get saved, it's like, man, hope you can come Sunday. I work Sunday. It's everywhere. Everywhere. But I'm saying, listen very carefully, God's people have to be extremely careful, because here's what happens. If you're not careful, you will be absent even when you could be present. Because it becomes habit. And you slip out and you miss. And this happens, people. I have to address this. I need to address this. I must address this. Somebody's got to stand up somewhere with an open Bible and say, there is something about this day, this meeting, that has a high priority with God Almighty. High priority. And I would suggest that what is a high priority to God should be a high priority to us. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm not getting on to you. I'm trying to encourage you. Keep this day sacred when it comes to services. Keep it what it is. Keep it what it is. It's God's day. It's not God's morning. It's God's day. You say, man, I know I'm saying things. In Baptist churches 50 years ago, they'd have been shouting the house down. Now you say this in Baptist churches today, and it's... Because we're not influencing the world. The world's influencing us. Maybe this is why Jesus prays for us. Father, they came out of the world, and the world doesn't recognize your day. And the world doesn't recognize your book as anything significant Help them. Help them keep your day and your book special. Boy, there's something about this old book right here, friend. When you, I'm not looking for confirmation when I come to preach on Sundays, but every once in a while, I know what I'm going to preach, you know, is going to just kind of get a little sticky. Like it feels a little sticky in here right now. Just a little bit sticky. And so I says, Lord, just bless them. Just bless your word. Bless your word. And I'm listening to 89.3. I listen to that radio station coming in on Sunday mornings. And they start singing this song on there. I don't remember. I think I've heard it somewhere. It's called That's the Truth. Daddy, what's that book there on the table? You read it all the time, but you're never through. I thought that's it, man. That's true. You read it, and you read it, and you're... You got any other book in your library like that? Any other book in your library that you read every day, and when you finish it, you immediately start it again? And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. But this book, you read it, and you never get through with it. It just never ends. It's just always full. Daddy, what's that book there on the table? You read it all the time, but you're never through. He said, child, that's our roadmap for living. The way that God can talk to me and you. That's the truth you can depend on. The truth that'll never lead you wrong. The Word of God that will never pass away. That's the truth you can believe in. The truth that saves you from your sin. From the eldest to the youth. That's the truth. And I need truth. And you need truth. Later on in the chapter, in verse number 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy... Come on, church. Thy word is... Oh... So God puts a high priority on the words of this book. And when Jesus sees people doing the same, He said, I want you to bless her. I want you to bless him. I want you to help him. I want you to help her. I want you to help them. I want you to help them. I want you to help them. Them. You folks don't know the verse in the book of Psalms. I read it this week. Where it says, God has magnified His Word above all His name. Whew. And this book is preached on Sunday night. You sit at home and watch television. And this is what I think, this is it, folks. You know, we got this mentality. You know, God's up and just, oh, it doesn't matter to God. Who cares? Sunday night, the Bible's being preached. They're watching the Bears game. Who cares? Go Bears. Because remember, God loves us all. We're just in one big lump. Just all lumped together in one big bunch. And what God does for one, God does for all. And God does for all what God does for... Well, this sure doesn't read like that, does it? Well, I got to quit. And you're hoping I quit real soon here, okay? Does Jesus pray for you? Number three. Jesus prayed for those who were not saved to get saved. Look at verse number 20. We're done. Jesus prayed for those who are not saved to get saved. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus was already praying for us before we were born. When we were born into this world lost. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Here is one prayer that Jesus prays for the whole world. What's that one prayer? God, I want the whole world to believe. I want the whole world to be saved. The whole world. I think that kind of goes along with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. God is not willing that any should perish. Are you here this morning? You're not certain that your eternal home is heaven? Can I encourage you this morning by saying to you, Jesus prays for you? And why not? He's the one that sacrificed. He's the one that died. He's the one that was buried. He's the one that rose again. Father, help them to believe. 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 Help them to come to repentance and faith in me. Help them to be saved. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't see somebody die lost, plunge into hell, and sit on His throne and go, yeah! I don't think that for a minute. I believe it breaks the heart of God that people die and go to hell without Christ. Especially when He knows that His Son sitting at His right hand has prayed, God, please help them to believe. 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 I want the whole world to be saved. If you're here this morning without Christ, Jesus does pray for you. He prays for you to get saved. If you're here with Christ, He prays for you because you came out of the world. And I just believe if you've chosen to put a high priority on His Word, He may pray for you a little extra. A little extra. Does Jesus pray for you? Let's hear, bow our heads, close our eyes. Thank you for your attention this morning. Listen just to a few words as we close out the service this morning. I wonder who's here today would say, Pastor, I heard the message from the Bible, and something that was said encouraged me. Something that was said cut a little close to the fence post. Something that was said, just God reached out and drove it home to my heart, more than to my ears, to my heart. I needed something that was said today. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air if that's you this morning? Be honest about it. I needed that. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, folks, what an honor that the God of heaven would speak to your heart. I can only speak to your ears. If something's touched your heart, that's God. Don't take that lightly. If God worked in your heart this morning, rejoice in it and be thankful. Now, let me ask this question. Would there be anybody here today that's honest before God, said, you know, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I go to heaven or hell. I do not have any assurance about going to heaven. I don't have that. Anybody like that here today, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not sure I'm saved. I have no assurance I'm on my way to heaven. God bless you. Is there somebody else this morning? I don't know that I'm saved. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Is there somebody else this morning? Be honest with the pastor, with God. I'm not sure I'm saved. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. Here's what I hope that you'll do. I hope that you'll come in a moment when the music begins to play. Tell one of these men down here, I'm not sure I'm saved. If you're a lady, they'll have a lady talk to you. If you're a man, they'll have a man talk to you from the Bible about how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Know it, K-N-O-W, for sure. And that's what Jesus is doing this morning. If you're here without Christ, unsaved, He's praying for you right now. Father, help them to believe. Help them to believe. He's praying for you. Why don't you act on that this morning? Christian, He's praying for you. Why don't you act on that this morning? If you've been saved, you need to be baptized. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Now's the time to come or join the church if you've talked to one of us about it. But if God spoke to your heart in any way, shape, or form, He honored you by doing that. Honor Him back. Father, I pray for every child, boy, girl, teenager, man, or woman that lifted a hand this morning. You spoke to the heart. The need may be different, but you spoke to the heart. And I pray that, God, you'll help that person, please, to respond in their heart to you. And I pray particularly, Lord, for those that may be in the room this morning, not sure that they're saved. I know that Jesus is praying for them. I pray for them that they'll come this morning to find out how to receive Christ as their Savior. And others, Lord, to respond as you spoke to their heart. And God, I'll thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name I ask this. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please, as the ladies begin to play. If you raised your hand, you meant that, why don't you come this morning? If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you come? Tell one of these men down here, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you do that this morning? God bless you. God bless you. While we wait this morning, Would you come? Amen. Boy, what a blessing to know that Jesus prays for us. What a blessing. Make an altar out of your seat. I always think it's best to come to the altar and pray. If you can't physically, make an altar out of your seat. Make an altar out of the aisle right next to your pew. Oh God, please. Just respond to Him.